wanna kill it. Yeah. I was meant to win. Yes. I am down and willing, so I will find a way. Yeah. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. Yeah. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. Yeah. That's how a winner's made. Yeah. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. Yeah. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit of flame. I switch my style up, with the money pile up. I'm a garish
with life. What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media semifinalist series. Our first one of the year. We're kicking it off with one of the most popular guys in the sport, Scott Tetlow. Scott, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. How you doing?
I'm good. We didn't even coordinate this, but we both came in with the Uplift shirts.
Right.
Sporting our man, Mark Moss, and his organization to prevent suicide and to create suicide awareness.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to go right off the top. Mark has started this organization. I'm going to share my screen. You this month in their challenge did the workout. So I'm going to pull that up.
Yeah, it's
there we go.
Yeah, you just posted it today. So this is the Maze Uplift Challenge.
So I'm going to blow up the workout. You want to explain it to people?
Yeah, it's a 10-minute AMRAP. Kept the movements pretty simple. Triplet, 12 alternating snatches, 50 for the men, 35 for the female, 8 lateral burpees over the dumbbell, and then 4 handstand push-ups. Handstand push-ups are strict, kipping, whatever way you got to do to keep moving throughout it. It's a good one. It's a lot more I breathe a lot heavy. It was a lot heavier breathing than I thought it would be, but I got, just so you know the score, I got 10 plus one rep, so I was able to keep 1 minute around.
Wow. So top male and female will receive a $100 gift card from Vindicate and one month of next level programming.
Yep.
Pretty awesome. So 1 minute around. Did you go into it with that thought process and treat it like an AMRAP?
Yeah, I did. The goal is to be able to hold for me and everything. I was like, I think I can hold 1 minute around. So I tried it. And then I did it with one of my buddies that I trained with, and he got just under 10 rounds. So, that was the intent whenever I at 10 minutes or whatever for me. So you could hold 1 minute around.
So the other thing that Uplift is doing for you is they're hyping you up, man. And it is right.
Yeah, I'm grateful for it.
they're hyping you up and they're supporting you.
They
put this out. They're selling shirts to help you out to get your trip to Carson.
Yes. And majority of that's going to be going to, I'm trying to raise enough money for not just myself, but for my entire team to go up there, because, you know, my team doesn't have to go up with me. I've asked them to go up there and they've said, yes, they will. So I'm trying to raise enough money to also, they've supported me throughout the year. So I'm trying to support them. And so they don't have to come out of pocket to help me. So everything is going to be split between all of us. And Mark does an incredible job with it. And the whole Uplift suicide awareness, I think, needs to be brought to light a lot more often, because every single day something you never know what somebody's going through, because people hide emotions so well, and so you never know what people are going through, and it doesn't hurt to just ask. Me being active duty in the military and stuff, I personally have seen it, and it hits home. So I definitely want to help out with whatever I can to support the Uplift community.
Yeah, we've had Mark on the show before. He shared a story. It's so impactful. My family was impacted by this. It's becoming more and more prevalent, and people need to be more aware of it. My daughter had a friend, probably two friends, I think now, who committed suicide while she was in school, and it devastated her. And it took us a long time to get her over that. I'm a huge supporter of Uplift. I believe in their cause, and we'll do anything we can to help them out in whatever they're doing.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Especially, Mark is just an awesome dude. He definitely cares.
He does. He's a great dude, too. He's always checking in on me too, which is awesome. So, so let's talk about the season so far. So you get through the Open, it becomes quarterfinal time, and you do your quarterfinal workouts, and then all hell breaks loose. So you, as an athlete, after you submit your stuff, what's going through your head at that moment?
Are you talking about like the penalties, or are you talking about like, okay. So, you know, it is what it is. I was like, well, I think I met the, like, I got a phone call from a good buddy of mine who got hit with a severe penalty. And he was like, hey, he knew somebody that got hit with a severe penalty. He called me. He goes, have you seen what's going on? And as I was on the phone with him, he received his email from CrossFit saying a major penalty. And so then at that point, I was like, holy smokes, like this is two people that I know move very well. And like, they're amazing athletes. Got hit with this, and I'm like sitting there reviewing my video, and like I sent it to my coach. I'm like, hey, do you see anything wrong with this? And like, it was a little stressful at that point. And then I kept checking my email. And then that was the only workout that I was worried about. I already had two validated before I had one validated. So that was kind of like a stressful day. And then I received it at like noon the next day. I'm like, I think I've received it on, I don't know. I can't remember, but I checked it and I had a 6-rep penalty. So that was like, I was like, all right, I'll take that, because from what people are getting docked on, I was like, I couldn't believe it.
So as someone who moves well, isn't this what we wanted, to make sure that everybody had a level playing field going into semifinals?
Yes. I mean, the standard is there. But yeah.
And you're free to, I mean, do you think it was too harsh?
No, it is what it is. That's what I say. It is what it is. I think that there's better ways to go on about, as far as like, hey, forward thinking, what could happen on this movement? What do we see major issues being? And I think that, and you know, whatever, if CrossFit holds it against me and stuff at semifinals for speaking my mind, then it is whatever. But I think that they need to plan ahead and be like, okay, think of it not just from a judging aspect, or not just like, hey, I'm going to program. What's the best sport of like test of fitness? Yes, there's ways to test the fitness, but from an athlete's perspective, all right, what is the athlete going to be doing? Like, it's not in the judge's course. It states the athletes and the judge are responsible for, you know, the movement, reading the instructions and reading the movement standard. But like, I just think that there's a better way to program. Can you test fitness without maybe doing box step ups? Can you do box step overs in that way? You know, now you're not leaving it up to video review, really, because it's like, hey, 2 feet over, make it as simple as you can during the video process, because like, you pay for a judge, you pay $10 to take the judging course, but then does that judge really even mean anything if they're just going to sit there and review the process? Like, you have the AFC or whatever that judging course is, that judging community, go to all these these well-known like Mayhem and Training Think Tank and stuff. And it's like, but those are the judges out there on the field. I know that in a competition, live competition, at semifinals, if you get a no rep, or if you get a no rep, then it is what it is. Like, they're going to take the judge's word. They're not going to go back and review it. So it's like, why are you not taking the judge's course? Why are you not taking the judge's word for it that was a good rep? But you take the judge's word for it on the competition floor. And that's just my whole thing about it. It's like, it's like, what's the point of having a judge there during an online competition? If they're just going to video review it, are they snap screening it to like slow it down to see? Like, because if you're doing that, then the judge in person can't really, the athletes are moving so fast that it's like, hey, it's hard to see every single rep, especially, you know, for like people getting docked like 40 something reps. Forrest was like, okay, Judge very well could have missed like 20 of those reps because of how fast the athlete was moving. So yeah. I don't know. That's just my opinion on it.
Swad Zombie, digging the mustache.
Thank you. It's new. It's new. I had to shave to go back to work, and I always leave the mustache for the last just to see what I look like with it. And the wife actually approved of it. So I'm letting it go for a little bit. Maybe it's the intimidation factor I needed for its semis.
There you go. It looks like a playoff mustache, right? It's like in hockey, they grow out the beards for playoffs.
Yeah.
So let's get past all that, the noise that happened around quarterfinals. You are going into semifinals this year with in 13th position, essentially going in.
Mm-hmm.
Last year you were right outside that qualifying spot, and you were inside the qualifying spot during the competition.
Yes.
What have you done this year to get over that hump?
I haven't really been training as much, to be honest. So I'm hoping, like, I tell everyone, like, because I've decreased the amount of my training volume, and I actually feel better body-wise. Like, I don't have as many injuries. I think this is the first time that, knock on wood or something, I think as long as nothing happens, that this is the first time going to semis that I don't really have, like, an ache or a pain going on. So, hopefully. And then I've been talking to a mental coach. I've been kind of like pushing that off for a little bit. So I kind of reached out, talked to a sports psychologist, and she's been helping me, Katie Bosco. She's been helping me out with, keeping focused. So I've done some of the, not necessarily like the training pieces, but I've done more of like the mental side and like how to, and allow my body and, kind of like, it's just how if you feel good, then you perform good. So like having the body ready and then also like the mind side of the focus, then I'm hoping that I'll be able to put it together this year.
So you mentioned going this year to semis, you want to take a team. I've been at semis and talked to you, and you were there lone wolfing it sometimes.
that's the way I roll. Yeah.
So why the change?
Well, it's not really like a change. I got my buddy slash coach, John, who knows me, who's brings me down to reality and what I'm capable of. And then I have another girl, Annalise Moore, that I work, that goes to the same gym as me. And she qualified for semis this year. So she's going to be going. And I'm a good friend. We pretty much work out. We don't do the same training program that often. Sometimes I'll jump into a workout with her, but we are typically there at the gym at the same time, which definitely helps. And then we have another girl who's also good friends with us and so she's going to be going up there. I think I got my wife's going to be coming up there with me, and then I got another guy who might come up. So I don't know. It's always good to hear your name being screamed at in the crowd, even if it's, you know, right there. It's not as big as some people's, but it's nice.
So I know you had grandparents watching the kids at some of the events. Who's got the kids this year?
My oldest, who's 8, about to be 9, is going to be going over to a friend's house, and I'm still currently working the 1-year-old who's going to watch him. So, but that is, that's TBD.
There you go. The other thing that's different this year is when I talked to you last year, you had just acquired a building, to open a tattoo shop with your wife.
Yes.
That seems to be going much, or you're much further into that this year. How has that changed your schedules?
Yeah, it doesn't really change anything. Well, for my wife's schedule, she went from being a police officer to working 12-hour shifts. And when she was working nighttime, she was sleeping during the day. So even when she was home, she wasn't really home. And so it actually like opened up our schedule a little bit more. Just making that switch, and the tattoo shop's going awesome. Like I said, we're the first tattoo shop inside city limits in the city that I'm at, which is Slidell, Louisiana. And we officially opened in October. Once we opened, like, I was in there working my butt off trying to cut expenses. And because we did a whole renovation thing, so I was in there doing what I could do. And I was putting a lot of work there. But once we opened in October, like, my wife has just been crushing it and running it throughout. So I just run the finances. So it's pretty easy to do that.
So for her to take off a weekend to go to Carson, because she owns a business now, it's a lot easier.
You kind of went.
So now that she owns her own business, if she needs a weekend to go to Carson, is that a lot easier for you guys now, or is it harder because she owns a business?
It's actually easier because since she owns it, she can pretty much make her own work schedule. So, you know, we got employees, or we got contractors that work with us that are, you know, understanding, and it's a private tattoo studio. So it's not like it's by appointment only. So as long as she didn't have any appointments, then it's fine. But so she took off for that whole week, and then we have the employees that just run the shop. So, it's easier.
So Mark says, don't you have a fundraiser through her shop too?
Yes. Thank you, Mark, for reminding me. Yeah. So my wife's giving away a $500 value tattoo, doing a raffle. So I posted on my Instagram. I'm going to keep posting it that, you know, $10 entry is, every $10 is one entry into a free $500 value tattoo that my wife is doing. So, and she specializes in fine line work, and, she's, what's that?
What is that for, Uplift or another organization?
So it's just another fundraiser thing that we're doing, that, okay. Trying to raise money to get the team there. Yeah. So it's separate from Uplift, but, it's the goal is still the same, just to help raise money for us to go to semis.
Gotcha. So you've never been to the games on when it was in person. The year you went to the games was online. You're getting to go to Carson to this historic tennis stadium. Any feels about that you get to go to this iconic arena?
I think it's cool. I don't really focus on where it's at or anything. I mean, it's going to be outside, so I have to take in environmentals to consideration, like how am I going to be performing outside. So there's stuff to consider whenever you're training for that kind of event, because I believe it's at the tennis stadium. And so we're going to be outside, sun beating on us. The difference between where I'm at now is humidity. So I work out outside, and I'm like sweating, even just warming up, and, or I'm drenched in sweat, just warming up. And then that temperature up there is like dry heat. But yeah, so like, I'm more considering like, hey, the environmental factors of what it's like going to be competing there.
Gotcha. It seems like the crowd's going to be really close compared to like Knoxville or Pasadena even. Are you excited to have the crowd that close?
Yeah, it's going to be different. I think it's definitely going to, I think it's going to be, being at Carson, I'm expecting a lot more spectators there, because it's like, oh, cool. Like, the first event since the CrossFit game, people are going to want to go to that, to go see that semifinal, just because it's where kind of like the games originated in a way. So I think there's going to be a lot more spectators there. And I've never been there before, so I don't know how big it is or how close those fans are, but it's definitely a tennis court, I'm assuming, is a lot smaller than an arena. So it's going to make it feel like it's a lot more crowded with all those people.
So last year at Pasadena, you were flying the Mayhem flag.
Yeah.
You talked about your coach, John. Are you now with a private coach?
No, I've been doing my own programming, for about 9 months. I got, like, my schedule, like, I get 90 minutes to 2 hours a day to work out. 2 hours if I'm lucky. So I got tired of seeing, like, you follow the Mayhem track. Nothing to say against Mayhem. It's a great program, great people there. But I got tired of seeing, like, hey, if you want to compete, this is all you have to do. So I was stressing. Like, I would only get one session in a day. So I was stressing about not getting in that second piece. And that was like, that was all that was on my mind. It's like, am I going to get it in? Am I going to get it in? So I kind of took that. I wanted to take that away this year And so I've just been writing my own programming, knowing what I have time for. And if opportunity and time opens up and I have a 30-minute window, then I'll just go and program something myself and go in there and hit it. It's that way the thought's not there. It's like, oh, people are getting better than me. And I stopped looking. They have some people do this, but like look at the leaderboard, see how you stack up. I did that every now and then. It was just like, oh, well, you know, he got me on this. And I've just been doing my own thing, and it's just creating a lot less stress on me.
You did that before Mayhem too, right? You programmed for yourself.
I did that leading up to Rogue, and then my buddy John. So my coach John is just a really good friend of mine that is, he knows me as an athlete and knows what I'm capable of. And he's a great support whenever, for an in-person competition. Like we always joke around that his first event was the Rogue event. I said, hey, this is your tryout to see like how good you do and everything. And he was the man. Like he blended, he was over there talking to like Shane Orr. Like he was one of the coaches and everything. And just, he was awesome, did everything. And I said, all right, you're hired, bro. Because he was just, he was good to be around. And plus he knew me as an athlete and definitely brought me down. Like, no, you're not going to go out there and go unbroken on that. I don't care what you think you are. So I was like, okay. And, you know, he's the one last year at semis to do, I think I was one of the only ones to do the single, pirouettes or whatever you call those 360 handstand walks. And every single one of them I did as a single. It was his call to do that because he was like, hey, like you're not going to lose that much time if you just do singles and you'll make every one versus do, if you try to go for it, then you could fail. And then you're going to be resting for like 30 seconds, 45 seconds trying to do. So just do singles. And I did it and it paid off. So, so he's definitely, he's somebody that I trust in my corner that I listen to and try to take his advice.
So I talked to Ariel Lowen quite a bit and she programs for herself as well. Mm-hmm. And one question I always ask her is like, are you good enough at self-evaluation to know what you need to work on? Or do you have somebody help you say, come on, Scott, you need to work on X, Y, and Z?
So I do the outline essentially for myself. Like, hey, here's what I'm thinking for me. And then I send it to him, John, and he adds something, or I asked him actually last week, hey, give me a list of movements that you think I need to work on the most. And he sent me like 7 or 8 movements and I prioritized those movements throughout. I sent him the outline and then I said, hey, here's what I got going. And he was like, I think you should do this versus this. That's kind of how that coach to athlete relationship works.
So he really is like in your corner, analyzing you and helping you kind of fine tune everything.
Yes. Like he's in the gym. He's not really, he's working out, but in between his sets, like I was doing bike intervals the other day. And cause that's one of the things I need to work on. He was literally coming up behind me over my shoulder and was just like, you need to hold it all the way through that minute and a half I was doing the intervals for. So he's in my corner. They're watching me do everything instead of just like programming for me.
And you've never really had that in the gym before, right? Cause like the Mayhem stuff is just online. Nobody's actually in the gym with you physically. So this is actually more than a coach, but support as well.
Yes, 100%.
Does he look at your movement and say, hey, you know, you need to get your knees a little wider or anything like that? Or is that still up to you?
No, he doesn't do that. Like he'll critique me on my lifts. Like he'll say, hey, like, you know, you need to be over the bar a little bit more because that was like, you're kind of catching it forward. So, or whatever, he'll give me cues like that and I'll be like, okay. And then as far as like movement, he'll tell me like, hey, you know, that's really close. Like your hip line versus your knee, that's really close. You need to be practicing getting down farther. So therefore like that leave no question behind and stuff. So he'll like point stuff out like that to me.
Okay, so now you have him, and you've been with this Southland group now for a couple years, kind of this Louisiana camp that's been growing and growing and growing. Either that, or I'm just getting to know more and more of the people that go there. because it seems like I run into somebody all the time.
Yeah, it's the Southland Group is incredible. You would be surprised how many fit individuals we have within a 50-mile radius of me. It is incredible. And it's a great, like, I'm super, like, I love going up there. Every time there's a camp out there, I'll go, hell yeah, count me in. I'm in. Just because it's a great time. And go up there, and plus, you know, you get to work out with individuals that are very similar to you. Like, there's some studs that go to that camp. There's some females that are amazing. And it really, like, helps you push. So, yeah, there's and plus, I have made a reunion seeing all those people, like, every 6 months, because they do, I think they do a camp every 6 months. But seeing some of the guys, like Will Bennett and everything, like, he's an awesome guy. And it's fun.
So, and it's expanded outside of Louisiana. My neighbor just 3 miles away, Rudy Berger, and his wife show up there every year.
Yeah,
it's coming down from the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's actually blowing up. And then you have someone like Brandon Luckett, who everybody thought was retired, and blows up quarterfinals and is in a third position going into semis. What does that do for a camp? Do you root for those other guys?
We just hope that they don't do better than us. I wouldn't say we don't root for them. We just hope we beat them in some. So, like, I was messaging Brandon during quarterfinals. I was like, hey man, like, let me get half of these workouts, okay? And then you take the other two, and that way we call it even or something. I was like, or I was kind of like talking to him about my score. And I said, hey, I hope you do good. Just don't do better than me. That's the words I use. So, we all support each other, and we wish the best for him. But ultimately, when we go to semifinals, the goal is to qualify for each individual, no matter what the cost is. So, yeah.
But in addition to that, you go to semis, and there's people that, like, you know and trust and like to hang out with. It's got to take some of the stress of the weekend off.
It definitely does, especially when you go back to the warm-up area and you kind of have, like, individuals you know and you know personally and talk to often. It helps lower the stress environment, but what it can also do is it can also kind of sidetrack you, not keep you focused. Because they'll be having conversations. So it's like that switch that you got to turn off back there, turn on and off.
So let me ask you this. This is going to be kind of a weird question. Say Brandon falls out of contention for the games and you're in contention. Is your relationship close enough where he would give you feedback on what he experienced in the workout before you take the floor?
If there's no shot in Brandon Luckett qualifying for the games, I think he would, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just Brandon's personality.
So I've seen it in the Masters where, like, Roy and Rudy will be at the same event, and Roy will give Rudy tips.
Well, is that a – yeah. I think that's a different relationship because, I mean, Rudy's – undefeated, right?
Pretty much,
I don't know. But they, you know, Rudy and Roy, I know Roy personally, and Roy is you know, he's about friendship and loyalty and stuff. And ultimately, those guys, there's a small group of guys that get together and compete with one another. I don't think that especially at the games, like, you're at the games. I don't think that the competitiveness is still there. But at the bottom line, it's like, hey, there's 10 of us here. Like, we are all studs. We're all made it. For individuals, it's kind of a little bit different. We got 40 guys, and now we got to for semifinals, and we got only, like, I don't even know how many qualified from the West. I haven't even seen anything yet from it. But say there's 9 of us, they're like, hey, we're all battling for 9 spots. So it's you know, we're battling for blood.
Corey says, Roy is one badass human being, not just an athlete, but in general.
That guy, he actually helped me and my wife open up the tattoo business. Like, I would call him. He was like, hey, come up to the gym. And he, like, gave me a 2-hour crash course on everything, got us set up and stuff. Like, That dude is an amazing individual, not just an athlete.
Wad Zombie comes in. Tetlow versus Luckett would be cool to see.
Come to Southland, you'll see it.
We may need to bring back Fit Wars and broadcast it.
I would love to. I would love to bring back Fit Wars. Aren't they doing something like that? Isn't like James Sprague doing something similar to that?
There's a couple like offshoots of it. There's a couple of them. Savon's got some stuff going on with Taylor Self, and
I'm gonna challenge Taylor Self here soon. I'm waiting for that money to go up.
It's $1,000 this Saturday.
I know. I'm trying to get my like I said, I'm trying to raise some money. So I might, if my son's baseball game lines up with the time, I might go do it.
There you go. That would be super cool. So we talked about the tattoo shop. You're giving away a $500 tattoo. That might be worth the drive down to Louisiana.
Yeah, they're like $500. Like, if you're within, I'd probably say within a 6-hour radius, it's definitely worth the drive. Save some money.
And how much stress is that taken off now that your wife is not a police officer anymore?
Oh, it's night and day stress. Like, if my schedule doesn't allow me to get the kids or anything, it was because, like, ultimately, when she was a police officer, she was so new. And for anybody that kind of, has experienced this, it's like you have to like earn, I guess it's in any workspace really, you have to earn like your time there. So I was trying to really allow her to focus on that. But now that she went off, now that she kind of sets her own schedule, it's, she's home and she helps out with the kids. Like, I take Easton to baseball practice in the game. She stays home with the little one because it's easier on me. It's just night and day better. Like, it's a rough schedule for a police officer. So for someone to go back and kind of be able to make her own schedule, it's a lot less stress on me.
So your son is named Easton.
Yes.
And you were a former baseball player.
Yes. Yeah. There's a reason why he's called Easton.
Okay. All right. He's destined for the major leagues.
Hopefully. I don't know. This month, he's going to be playing on two travel baseball teams. So it's going to get a little, crazy. So he just got accepted to play travel baseball, which, one, I'm super proud of him. I just went out on Amazon. I bought him like a batting cage for the house and a bunch of stuff. So because he's like all about it. So I was like, all right, well, we can practice here and do some stuff. So he's going to be doing that come May through July.
It's funny. A friend of our family named their son Easton, who played baseball growing up, but then became like a really good basketball player and got a Division I scholarship in basketball.
Well, I have no doubt my son will not be getting a scholarship in basketball because he's my son and I'm only 5'3". So I'm hoping baseball or soccer. He's actually really good at soccer too. He had the best save. He saved a PK, a penalty kick, like a diving save, and he got the game ball. So that game, but he's good at soccer as well. So
what fires you up more, watching Easton make a killer save or you winning an event at semifinals?
I think it's different. It definitely, like, seeing my son succeed fires me up more than anything. Like, he hit a home run in baseball. Like, I was jumping up and down like that. It's just a different type of emotion than me going out there and winning an event. It's still, both of them are very powerful memories and everything. It's just different. Like, it fires me up one, because I love the progress that he's put in and he's gained. And then for me to go out there and win an event, the time that I've spent like working towards this stuff paying off now, I got to keep it going. It's different. It's just different. I feel like emotions.
Yeah, I think with my daughter, the stuff that she did is more lasting in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
And I relive it more often than my own.
No, I agree. I think that's definitely something. Like, I think he's going to have more success, like, more, like, especially as a kid. He's going to have, plus, like, I compete once, twice or something in person. He goes and plays, does all this stuff, plays multiple sports. He has way more memories than I have winning events, doing like excelling in sports. So it's a lot more to recall.
Yeah. I see. And it's crazy. Like, because I do this, I watched you win that event at semifinals. And like, I got fired up because I had just interviewed you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, so that was really cool. And I got to interview you right after that. So that's a memory in my mind. You're still active military.
Yep.
How long have you been in the Navy now?
I've been in 13 and a half years. So I'm on my way to 20.
And Apple gave you a thumbs up for that.
Nice.
So you're on your way to 20. That's the goal, is to get to full retirement.
Yep, that's the goal. I've already invested this much, so.
Is it hard training? Is it the family stuff that prevents you from training longer than 90 minutes, or is it the work stuff?
It's a little bit of both. I try to get, like, I'm fortunate enough to where I have like seven to nine is like my scheduled PT time. So I try to get as much as I can before I come home. So it's actually easier for me to get away, break away. Like during my lunchtime, I will go and hit a 30-minute piece if I have time. And, but when I'm at home, there's so much going on. I got the 1-year-old running around. I can't just go out to the garage and just do a 20-minute workout, because my 1-year-old will be in the garage with me. If my wife's not home, then my 1-year-old will be in the garage and I'm like chasing him down because he's going all over the place. So it's, I would say probably more or less the family life. So, you know, the military supported me last time I went to semifinals. And so they support me.
So my next line of questioning is, you got to go train with Bill Leahy at his home.
Yeah. And he lives like 20 minutes from me.
So do you just, is from video, it looks like it's rocky in the woods, right? Like kind of separated from civilization, and it's just about fitness when you get out to that property.
It's not really isolated. It's got, he lives on a dirt road, but on that dirt road has, there's another house right directly across from his dirt road. But then it's like, he's got houses all over him, just, and where he's at, houses are just more spread out. So he's got an awesome, awesome shed that has, we can get a lot of people in there. So that's just the rope climb. That's just where he has, you know, he's able to do 20-foot rope climbs there. So, and it was nice outside. Like I said, taking into account the environment that we're going to be outside, we were like, hey, let's just do the rope climbs outside in the barbell.
It did. Yeah. But if you notice, like, all the video footage from his place, all you see are trees and fitness stuff.
Yeah. No, there's definitely like, imagine a U shape from the back of his house going all the way around his garage in the backyard. It's just a U shape of trees. So I could see houses though from in between those trees from where we're at.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, he's not out in the middle of nowhere.
So how often do you get out there to train with him?
I try to get out there like once every 2 weeks, whenever my schedule lines up. He's always a good person to link up with. And plus it's like, he does his own programming too. So I usually line up I do all my programming a week in advance. And so if I know that I'm going out there, I said, hey, this is what I have on Friday, say, and he'll plan his schedule based off of what I got. And we'll kind of just like, we'll throw in a mixture of what he wants to do versus and what I want to do. So, and I love working out with him because he's just like, hey, get there, warm up, let's go. All right, on to the next piece. So we are, it's the way I like to train. Like some people like take 45 minutes to warm up, and like, hey, they'll take 20 minutes, 30 minutes in between pieces. It's like, nope, our cleanup time is our rest time for the next piece. And we try to plan it smartly to where it's not like, we're not going from one tough piece to another tough piece. So we're like completely, the intensity is not there. But yeah, like he's just, let's, we're here to work out. Let's work out.
And just like Brandon, you want him to do well at semis, but at least one spot behind you on every event.
Right, exactly. So, and that's why I tell him that, you know, Will, he's definitely, he's probably the fastest growing, like, CrossFit athlete that I've at least heard of, know personally, because 2 years ago he hit me up. I think it was 2021. Yeah, 2021. He hit me up. He was like, "Hey, he found out I lived in Slidell, and he looked, like I said, 20 minutes away. He's like, can I come train with you?" And I was like, "Yeah." And now 2 years later, he's definitely crushing it.
Well, he's got Hiller in his corner too, which is one of the fastest growing YouTube channels in this space. So that's pretty cool too.
Yeah.
And you two are very different athletes.
Mm-hmm. So that's why, that's another thing. Like I hit him up and I was like, "Hey, like this is like this piece is what I'm thinking for me." But the other day I said, "Hey, I want to do machine work, program something machine, because that's what I need to work on." He goes, "All right, as long as we can throw some burpees in there." I said, "Throw some burpees in there. I'll just prioritize the machine work, try to max output on that. And then you prioritize," because he's great at machines. And I was like, "You just maximize the burpees."
Okay. Well, that's super cool that you have those relationships. And it is funny that, like, Louisiana has become this hotbed of CrossFit athletes, as Mark has put in the chat. Leahy, Luckett, Scott, Max Krieg, Brian.
From when? Huh. With, yep.
Yeah. Corey Leonard. Who qualified for semifinals, right? In the Masters division.
So, yeah. Then we got you got Roy that'll throw down with us. So, yeah, there's a bunch.
So, we had a burpee challenge with Jake Berman and Colton Mertens, and I had to get your take as someone that can fly through burpees. Do you think you have some contention in the fastest burpees in the world?
I just wish that I went. So Hiller was over at Will's house when I was over there, and he asked me the question off the record. But I said, I just wish he would have challenged somebody who would have, you know, giving him a run for his money.
Wow. and you might be that someone.
I believe I could. Yeah. So, I mean, not like whenever the workout came out, I was like, "Oh, well, whatever." And my buddy, John, my coach was just like talking about it. And I was like, "Yeah, like we tied in a 10,000 competition for, I can't remember what the time domain was for burpees, but we literally tied. And then the burpee box jump workout from regionals last year, you know, we tied, really, even though the reason I won is because I didn't even know that was the thing. The reason I won is because I got one more rep than him on the first round. That was the tiebreaker. And so we tied. And I feel like him and I are very similar to burpees because we're the same height. So, yeah, I think I would have definitely given him a run for his money, if not probably beat him.
There it is. Heard it here first. And I got that on the record.
Power of the stash now.
Mark says, "And here we go."
But no, yeah.
Well, this has been fun. I'm going to look at my notes one more time, make sure I hit everything. And the kids are doing well.
Yeah, kids are doing good. The littlest one, Bradley, is growing up super fast. He's going to be 2 in July. And Easton's going to be 9 in July. Their birthdays are 2 weeks apart. Got the other one is doing a field trip. He's doing a field trip today to his new middle school next year. So he's going to be, they do middle school 4 through 8 down here, which is weird to me. But so he's going to a new school next year. He's nervous about it. But yeah, no, the kids are doing good.
Yeah, middle school was our toughest time as a parent. And I can't believe they're extending it. We only had 7 through 9.
Okay. Yeah, I had 6. I had 6 through 8. Like, so elementary was 1 through 5, and middle school was 6 through 8. High school 9 through 12. So
that might have been it. And that actually might have been 6 through 8. But that stretch was as hard as it ever was being a parent.
Why is that?
It's the new school. It's kids that weren't with you in elementary school are being mixed into the hopper. and trying to find your identity as a kid with all that going on. Hopefully, like, his sports help him through that.
Right. Well, no, this is good info. This is stuff I got to look forward to and kind of project. So, yeah. Any insight? Please feel free to share.
In our school district, we have 18 elementary schools and 3 middle schools. Mm-hmm. So all that gets like funneled down into 3. So you're adding batches of kids that don't know each other into one hopper.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, that's kind of how it was for me too, now that I think about it. So.
And my daughter went to school young. So looking back, I probably wouldn't have done that again. And so
my son is actually, he's young for his grade. So all like right now he's sports, like all of his friends that he goes to class with, he's still in coach pitch. So they're all, everyone else that he's in school with that's good friends with them, they're in kids pitch. So like that's another thing. Like as far as, yeah, sports will definitely help, but it's going to come to that time to where, he's not going to be playing with all his friends that are in his grade, just like kind of like now, but you know, they're in a smaller school. So that definitely could have some effect.
Yeah. My daughter was into music. So it was, what helped her was finding band, like to get in with that group of people. And then you have your people. And that's what it is with middle school and high school, is you got to find your group.
No, for sure. Yeah, I can see that.
So, well, this has been fun, man. I can't wait to see you out in Carson.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be. I'm gonna do my best. So I'm excited for it, and you know, it's always a good time whenever you get to compete in person.
Yeah, well, thanks a bunch. We'll see you then. Thanks to everybody in the chat for being here. You guys have been awesome, and we'll catch everybody next time on Clydesdale Media Semifinalist Series. Bye, guys. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCore are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.